Good evening. Glad everybody can make it back on this beautiful day. We have this mindset of checking off the list. You know, when we think about chores, when someone receives a list of chores, they do each one and they mark it off one by one until the list is finished and they are done for today. And that mindset is worldwide. You know, and it's good to come up with a list of things you need to get done, that you need to accomplish, whether it's outside on the house, in the yard, or inside of the house, or even at work. You have a different list of things that need to be accomplished before the day ends. And sometimes you don't get to everything because we only have so much time during the day to get it done. But that same mindset, it doesn't belong in worship. It doesn't belong in the Christian life. Yet that's the same mindset that many today have, and as well back in the days of Christ. That was the mindset that many of the Jews had. And then go back even further. That was the mindset of many during those days as well. But this mindset has found its way in and has ruined and pushed people away from true worship. It has caused people to take a soft approach to the Christian life, to the life of a disciple. And it's a mindset that we need to get rid of. Because it's not only worship that that mindset affects. It also affects our personal study, our personal time with God that we should be spending. Once again, this mindset must be put to an end, because worship to the Jews, when they were allowed to leave Assyria, when they were allowed to come back, Babylon, not Assyria. But Babylon, when they were allowed to come back, their mindsets changed. And we see that worship was not a chore. As we look at Nehemiah chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now all the people, let me give you the text there. Verse 1, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. They didn't do this just for a couple of hours. We're talking from morning to midday. Morning till noon, if you want to put it in that way. And they stood, and this wasn't a sermon. This was Ezra, the priest, reading the law of Moses. But at this point, they had returned to their city that was destroyed. And they were rebuilding. They were so excited. They were so attentive to the law. They missed it because in their time under captivity, they weren't allowed to do the things they were to do, that they did beforehand, before the captivity. And we see throughout, you know, God telling them, like, if you don't repent, guess what? You're not going to be able to do these things. I'm coming, bringing these nations in to take you over, to destroy this. And there would be death, but there would be a remnant that would be captives. They were attentive. They were ready to hear the law of God, the law of Moses, be read. And of course, we know that the Levites, of course, would help the people understand what the law was saying, what the law of God meant. Can you imagine standing from morning to midday listening to the law be read? It's like having those who do scripture reading to just stand up here for 45 minutes to an hour just reading from one of the books of the New Testament, whether it's Matthew, Galatians, Revelation, and just reading. Can you imagine standing for that amount of time? I mean, it's a long time to stand. It's a long time to be on your feet, but they didn't care. They had the mindset. They were excited. When we look at Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 16, Paul here telling the Colossians, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Do we do that? You know, even during worship, even the songs we sing, they usually, in the hymn books, I don't know if they do it in these, but in some of the newer ones, they put text that they pull some of their lyrics from. And I think it's so important that we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, because it is through his word in which we know how to worship, and how we know how to worship in spirit and in truth. That's where we know what true worship looks like. You know, we go back to the early church in Acts 2. We know that is the blueprint for what the church should look like, should be. Many don't. They do not let the word of Christ dwell in them richly. It's become a list to be checked off. Came to worship Sunday morning. You know, we took the supper. We sang hymns. We paid our dues. We heard the preacher preach a sermon. I'm good for the week. Is that how God wants us to worship? Is that the attitude we are to bring when we come before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, who gave his only Son to us to die on a cross for us? I mean, we have these attitudes, and I understand having a rough week. It's hard to get your mind focused when you have so much going wrong, but we need to change the attitude, change that mindset. In 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not a burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Is his word or even worship a burden to us? Because when we see that mindset in many, sometimes you wonder, is it a burden to you? Is it a chore that you think, well, you know, I missed this Sunday, I'll come next Sunday. You know, chores can be missed. We can't reach everything, especially when you're at work. You got so much going on, and you're not going to get every little thing you want done. No. Now, there may be some places you get a lot done and you get everything done. That's great. I have a buddy who works at a spark plug plant in Sissonville, West Virginia. And they have lists. They have things they need to accomplish. They have quotas that they need to meet. And, you know, things happen. Machines go down. You have to figure out, okay, we need to move over here. We need to try to meet the quota. But they don't always meet that quota. And so, you know what? Tomorrow, we'll try to meet it. And it's a goal each week to try to meet the quota. But that's not how worship goes. We can't just come in here with the mindset of, you know what, I checked off the list, I'm good for the week. Oh, I missed this Sunday, so I'll come next and I'll start over and make sure I check off. That mindset needs to leave the mind of a Christian. And of course, with the Word of God, I ask the question, how much time do we spend in it? Is our personal study what it needs to be? Do we spend enough time in the Word of God? Something I've been doing lately, and it's actually, it's been a great 2 or 3 days. I haven't been on Facebook at all. This is actually the one day it's going to be up on Sundays and Wednesdays. But what I've been doing is when I find myself, I guess you could say, getting bored or getting tired, what I do is instead of getting on Facebook and scrolling endlessly, just using my phone, going to the Bible app, or putting the phone away and jumping in and replacing it. And it's been wonderful 2 or 3 days now. I haven't spent hardly any time on Facebook or YouTube at all. And I think that's the mindset we need to start getting ourselves into and putting away distractions and getting back to what really matters. And I'm not just boasting. I mean, my personal study has been not the greatest in the world. You know, yes, I spend hours here in the office putting together sermons, but personal study is something that we all need. And so we need to change that mindset from this is a burden to I need this. I want this. This is where my heart belongs. I desire this. And if we don't, we're going to find ourselves spiritually being drained. We're going to find ourselves going astray. And it happens so often. People miss one Sunday. It's like, oh, it's okay to miss one, but they end up missing two. It grows and grows to the point they no longer are here. They have gotten distracted, have been pulled away. And so the question we need to answer, do we have the right mindset? And when we look at Colossians once again, in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, we're going backwards. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Here's the mindset we need as Christians, as we come and get ready for worship as well. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Keep in mind the end of that verse. We'll come back to that in just a few minutes. But when we look here, we need to reset our minds to focus on things that truly are more important. And those things are above, not things here on earth. So many people get distracted. They find things they think are more important than being here with their brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever it may be. You know, we talked this morning about bowing our knees to other masters, to other kings, which are many things, whether it's people or things, sports, academics, hobbies, whatever it may be, politicians, athletes. That's not who we are worshiping. We come here to worship the one true God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're not focused on things here on earth as a Christian. We're focused on things above, where Christ is seated. You know, Christ teaches that we are not to build up treasures on earth, but we are to build treasures up in heaven. How does one do that? Well, we live for him. We are obedient. We put our full trust and we follow him daily. That's how we store up treasures on earth. We do as we have been commanded to do. We worship the way we have been commanded to worship God. And God has every right to tell us, this is how I want to be worshipped. We see that from the very beginning. Yet once again, there have been many who have rejected that, who have decided, no, I'm going to do it my way. Let me tell you, at that point, they're worshipping in vain. And God's not pleased. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience with your obedience is fulfilled. The war we are facing is not physical, but spiritual. You know, those who walk according to the flesh, guess what? They are of the world. They are worldly minded. And we've talked about that a little bit, the worldly minded versus the spiritually minded. And we see Paul talk about this not only with the Corinthians, but we see with the Galatians as well. God has provided us with weapons that take down strongholds, not physically. We have the tools, we have the weapons. We think about his word that we have here. But not only that, once again, when we fill our minds and our hearts with the word of God, when we have a strong prayer life, we can do some damage to the enemy. We can tear down strongholds. We can tear down the false doctrines that are being taught. We can win lost souls, pull them from condemnation to salvation. Yet, once again, are we of that mindset? You know, of course, worship. Worshiping God, not just here, but every day. Can we worship God every day? Absolutely we can. I think it's important that we do so, that we glorify Him, praise Him every day, not just on Sunday. But understanding how important it is to come here on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, to be together, to have fellowship, to be with people of the same mindset. Once again, it is an encouragement. It will lift you up. Worship is so important. In Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Father to the Son, keep my words. Be diligent. See them, hear them, follow them. Put them at the center of your heart. Why? Because they're going to help guide his son to a life that is pleasing to God. And we see from Proverbs 1 to 4, I mean, he is telling him, giving him wise advice on how to live life, how to be pleasing to God, not to please man, not to fall in with these men who look to live in sin, to kill, to steal, to have all in this life, but to do what's pleasing to God, to have that wisdom, to seek after godly wisdom, which is far better than anything you can have in this life. And we know Solomon, once again, going to Ecclesiastes, he had everything, yet he considered it all vanity. And what was his final conclusion? Fear God and keep his commandments. That's what we should do. That means remaining in his word, having a prayer life, taking worship seriously. Coming here with the mindset, I'm not here to be glorified. I'm here to glorify the King of Kings. Nothing else outside of these walls right now matter. I'm here for God. I'm here to worship him, pleasing him, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Once again, worship should be our whole life. The church should be our whole life. Christ should be our whole life. You know, I was talking to someone. If you go back to the 40s, 50s, and even the beginning of the 60s, the mindset of true Christians then, this was their life. Church, Christ was more important than anything, more than anything in this world that was going on. I remember, I'm sure he doesn't mind, he's a preacher himself, but he was talking about, he loved playing the banjo and stuff like that. And I think he said he was in high school. He came from the same place I came from, Boone County, West Virginia. I'm pretty sure went to the same high school that I did. And it amazes me because if you go to Sherman today, we just have your, you know, 4-H, you have sports like football, soccer, baseball, all that good stuff. You know, back in those days, back in the 80s, back in the 70s,
They had, our school had a boxing team, which I thought was pretty cool. Probably solve all the fights that happened. But he was talking about his team that, you know, they played banjo, and went all over like the band does to perform. And they were going to the finals, but came home, told his mom. He was excited about it. She said, well, when is it? It's on a Sunday. His mom's response was, we can't do it. You can't do it. You got worship on Sunday. That's more important. And I'm thinking, we need to bring that mindset back. Worship should be the most important thing. Worshiping our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. You know, I'm not against sports. I'm not against having hobbies. I'm not against any of that. I'm not against academics. Our world really needs more intelligence today. Obviously, it's obvious. But when that takes place, takes God's place, which is at the center of our life, then that becomes a problem. When we miss worship for something that really isn't that important, we're putting other things before God. And God's not pleased. He's a jealous God. He does not want to share us with other things, with other people, with worldly things. No, absolutely not. Yet this is the mindset, but it needs to change. Nehemiah chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, in sackcloth, and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners. And they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in the place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. We see this mindset. They separated themselves from foreigners. When we come inside the building, we know the building's not the church. We are the church. But we come here, we separate ourselves from the world and everything going on, and we focus solely on worshiping God. That's the most important thing. They separated themselves to focus on worshiping and praising God. We see that they confess their sins to one another. They worship the Lord their God. I mean, we see them in sackcloth. They put ashes. Now, I'm not asking you guys to go and tear your clothes, put on sackcloth, and sit on ash. But this is worship at its most pure. These people's minds and hearts were centered on God, and yet we can't get people to have that type of mindset today. You know, I heard, and I don't know how true it is, I've heard from plenty of people who lived back in the 50s. What's amazing to me is that in courthouses back in those days, they would bring in Church of Christ preachers, because to the communities then, they knew Scripture. They knew Scripture. That's not the case today. Now, of course, our world, you know, it's in chaos. But would people say the same about us today? Would people look at us? There's a true Christian. There's one who truly cares, who knows what God's will is. Do they see that, or do they see us missing worship, not taking it seriously, not taking seriously on studying and being in His Word, fulfilling the will that He has, that He has commanded us to fulfill, commanded us to go and do? Once again, what's our mindset? In Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 6, so we made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham.
Zacchaeus. Once again, Christ, the Jews, the Pharisees did not like when Christ went and spent time with sinners. He sat and ate with tax collectors, the most hated among all the Jews. But Zacchaeus understood. Zacchaeus was a man who understood what Christ was looking for. And we know Christ would tell the people eventually, there will be a day when we worship in spirit and in truth. Once again, worship's not just here on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings. Praising Him and glorifying Him is not just here. It's a good place to come to separate ourselves from foreigners, from the world. But when we are out there among the world, we need to be living a life that is praising and glorifying God constantly and consistently. Worship, once again, is not just coming to a building where the church assembles. Worship is also out doing what God has commanded us. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Is He the center of our lives? Is He receiving glory and praise from us? And from not only our mouth, but from our actions. Are we truly worshiping? Are our hearts truly seeking God? Once again, worshiping God's law should never be a chore, should never be a burden, should never be a check-off list. It should be the way of life. Our mindset should be, I want to worship God and remain in His Word every day I can. I want to spend every waking moment glorifying and praising Him and doing what pleases Him. That's the mindset. So we must change our mindset and be an example to not only the worldly, but to the younger generations coming up, showing them this is what's more important. I don't think God's going to ask us what we got on our report cards, because if we needed straight A's, I'm done. If we needed to be a pro athlete to get into heaven, most of us are done. We need to understand what's more important. So if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, understand this. When you come to Christ, it is a commitment, a devotion, but it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. He commands that He be your whole life, that He be the center of your life. And this is how you put Him at the center of your life. First, you must hear the word which has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. Then you must believe that word, Mark 16:15 and 16. Then you must repent of your sins, change one's mind, Acts 3:19. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. Once again, if you confess Me before men, I'll confess you before My Father. If you deny Me before men, I'll deny you before My Father. And then it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized. Once again, reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We are being put into the water, and our old selves are being put to death. And we raise up out of that water, being washed by the blood of Christ and walking in newness of life. Acts 2:38, 22, 15, and 16, 1 Peter 3:21, so forth, so on. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. That's the hard part. That's where He calls us to action. That's where we are to conduct ourselves in a holy manner, to take seriously His word and worshiping Him, following Him daily. Or if you are a Christian, you have found yourself in a pit of sin, you have allowed distractions to pull you astray, well, now is the time to renew your walk with Christ and to recommit. Be devoted once again to Christ and putting Him at the center of your life, cutting off those distractions, separating yourself from those distractions,
and truly following Him. So if you're here this evening and you need any assistance, the church is here for you. Church loves you, and they want to see you thrive in your walk with Christ. And they are here to encourage you and to lift you up. So if there's anyone here tonight who needs assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.